Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. For those of you who are joining me for the first time, I am a Maryland-based attorney. My office is located in Largo, Maryland, and I practice in the areas of family law, criminal law, as well as personal injury. Now, every week, I like to start off the conversation by, and I'm laughing because every single time I do this show, there's always something crazy that has happened in our society, because that's the world that we live in post-election 2016. So, you know, there's all kinds of craziness, of course, going on with, you know, this administration and just in our society in general. But one of the things that I cannot my mind around, and I was having this conversation with someone recently about all of the ways that the plan to change the current healthcare policies are going to affect people, as well as crazy things like getting rid of, say, the EPA. So I think it's interesting that over and over and over again, we see situations, and I laugh because I'm like, when did we get here, people? When did we get here? It's absolute lunacy, because you have a situation where the president or someone in his cabinet or one of his, you know, lemmings or someone, you know, they meet with, you know, say, lobbyists for pesticide industries, right? The next thing you know, all of a sudden, they want to do away with science and do away with the Environmental Protection Agency as a whole. And if you can't understand why not having clean water and being free from air pollution, if you can't understand why that's a problem, you may want to rethink some things. Because the fact that this administration is allowing the industries, because of course this is where the money comes from, allowing the industries who dump these carcinogens into our environment control the discussion is so crazy that is there really nothing that this man and this administration can do for someone to pump the brakes and call foul? I don't know. But every week it's some more craziness that we're having to contend with. And we are in a really, really scary place in this country, because not only do we have a president that's a clear Looney Tune, an administration that is out of control, that's ill-managed, but then you have the far-right fringe and the scourge of our society who kind of, you know, are doing things like Alex Jones telling people, because he knows that they'll believe it, that there's a sex ring on Mars, like crazy. But the fact that people believe this, like, you know, just the whole Pizzagate thing when the guy came into the pizza shop in D.C. because he was told, probably by Breitbart or Alex Jones or one of these people, that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex ring out of a pizza shop in D.C. And he went into the pizza shop with a loaded gun to, quote-unquote, rescue these poor children, right? The thing that's crazy about that is that these people, these right-wing nut job talking heads who say these things aren't thinking, and, well, maybe they aren't thinking, but either way, they are inciting people to do things that are harmful to the rest of us, or at least potentially harmful to the rest of us. And I'm not really sure why these things are not being checked, right? Because that's the scary thing. So for Fox News and the far-right crazy people to say things like saying Black Lives Matter is a hate chant, right? To say that my life matters, please don't kill me, right? Has convinced people that somehow, you know, some kind of KKK, you know, oh gosh, it's a lot. It's a lot. But to convince people that people shouting for equality and for justice is worse than telling people and inciting people to violence by telling them things that are completely untrue, right? I don't understand why these people are not being held accountable for their words, because I do understand that the First Amendment protects people, absolutely, right? But at the same time, you still don't have a right to say anything, especially if what you are saying is going to incite violence and incite riots and things like that, right? You don't have a right to say things that have consequences and impact the liberties of other people. And that's my spiel for today, because every week I'm baffled because of the fact that I can go on and on and on a weekly basis, talking about the things that are happening in our society and probably never run out of material. But at some point, my hope is that the normal government crazy that we know will return to normal. Because what's happening right now is scary. To have a president that is constantly on Twitter, having Twitter beefs with whomever because anything that is perceived as the slightest slight or attack on his ego, any bit of criticism, he goes on the attack. And I can't name one thing that this president has done since taking office in January other than separate people from their families by deporting people under the guise of them being quote-unquote bad hombres. But what's really happening is he's basically trying to get rid of the brown people in this country, either by deportation or the Muslim ban, right? He's trying to limit the number of brown people in this country, and that is terrifying. So between that and, you know, trying to get people's health care taken away, I don't know what else this president has done since taking office in January. But either way, I hope that people like the ACLU and other organizations continue to fight for the equality of all people like they have been doing. And, there's certainly as many right-wing nut groups that pop up. There are certainly many left-leaning organizations that are out there that are trying to help people to fight for justice and things like that. So I am always on the side of justice. That is who I am. That is what I believe. I believe in justice. I believe in equality. And I believe that, no one is free until we're all free. And so that's what I'm going to leave you guys with that as it relates to that topic. Now, what I want to talk about is a couple of things that are important to know. I recently came across an article called 40 Secrets That Only Divorce Attorneys Know, and I thought it was really interesting, and so I decided that I would share it with my listeners because it's something that is, it certainly rings true as a divorce attorney, that there are certain things that only divorce attorneys know that I think is probably important or can help someone else in their either pending litigation or future litigation if you are seeking a divorce. So the first thing is, and this is, I think, probably the most important thing, right, in divorce litigation, is your emotions lead your financial decisions or any other decisions. Because the thing about emotions, folks, even though, I mean, we've all had our hearts broken, right? And I understand that it's not uncommon as a result of having emotional scars to want to lash out. And, you know, when we're kind of going through our emotions, those are certainly not the times to make life-altering or potentially life-altering decisions. And I found that many people take that road where they are in the midst of all of their emotions and they allow their emotions to make the decisions instead of taking the time or taking a minute and using and exercising good judgment. And so that is where a good lawyer can come in to help you to say, wait, 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 pump the brakes, think for a second. I understand that your emotions may be high right now, but this is how this is going to play out if you do X. And the reason that's important is because obviously as attorneys, we're not only advocates, but we're also counselors, right? That's why they call us sometimes counselors at law, because sometimes a lawyer's responsibility is to, essentially take the hand of their client and lead them past the minefields and the hurdles and things like that. And sometimes that really means protecting your clients from themselves. Many times that's what it means. And understand this, folks, is you want to, in order to make your attorney's job, right, because you don't want to be beefing with your lawyer, right? So the way to make your attorney's job easier is to follow their advice. So if your lawyer tells you that doing X is not a good idea, and let me explain to you why. Because it's one thing for someone to say this is not a good idea, and it's another thing for them to say that this is not a good idea, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you how this could play out, ergo why it's not a good idea. And so if your lawyer tells you that, take heed, because if you're paying them how many hundreds of dollars an hour for their advice, it only makes sense that you would then take that advice, right? Because if not, then it's probably best for you to, for you to represent yourself. And I know I tell clients all the time that, you know, not following my advice certainly is one of the reasons that I dismiss clients. Because, again, if you're not going to follow my advice and get yourself in a potentially harmful situation, and maybe even me in a potentially difficult ethical bind, then it's probably best for you to represent yourself. So do not let your emotions be your guide. Let your lawyer be your guide, because after all, that's what you're paying them for. So another thing is, when it comes to divorce, understand, and sometimes, and I don't really know where this myth came from. Sometimes I hear these myths, and I always wonder how in the world did this get started. But either way, everything is divisible and fair game if it's marital property in a divorce, because I'm not really sure why people think if I file for divorce, you know, I'm getting half your stuff, but that doesn't also mean that you get half mine. I don't know where people get this idea from. And I always tell the story about someone who contacted me once, and I laugh because it's funny. It's kind of one of these situations, right, where the person did not understand. It's not only women that can ask for alimony. Women can be forced to pay alimony. And when I tell you, this woman flipped out and hung up on me and was like, no, thank you, I don't need your services, all because I told her that depending on the facts and situations and circumstances and all that kind of stuff, there is a possibility, because it's a divorce, there's a possibility that she may be she may have to pay alimony. And she was not happy about that, and she chose to do whatever it is she chose to do, but I just know that she decided to hang up on me because she didn't like that. But understand this, my job, and I tell people, I will always be honest with every person who walks through my door, because it doesn't benefit me and it doesn't benefit you for me to be dishonest with you in an attempt to make you think that I'm a lawyer who wins all of my cases. Because guess what? That's not true, because sometimes facts are facts. Well, all the time facts are facts, and you can't change the facts. Some people do. I don't, because I – So understand that I am not going to ever mislead my clients in an attempt to make them think that I'm so awesome. If the facts are bad, the facts are bad. But understand that everything is divisible. right? If it's marital property and if it's not protected by a prenuptial agreement, if you did not acquire it by gift or by inheritance, and it was acquired during the course or dependency of a valid marriage, it's considered marital property, at least in the state of Maryland. Now, if you're listening and you're from another state, you want to talk to someone who is licensed in your particular jurisdiction to give you advice about that. But I can speak only as it pertains to the laws of the state of Maryland. And so if you are trying to get a divorce in the state of Maryland, just know that if it is marital property, it's divisible fair game. So that includes everything down to your frequent flyer miles, royalties you wrote from a book, all that kind of stuff. So people don't understand that. People don't think about those things, but anything that has value, right, can potentially be divisible in a divorce. So another thing is timing. In a divorce action, timing is everything. Why? Because take, for example, you want to buy a new car, right? And you want to buy this car. You've separated from your spouse for 15 years. You are now, you know, you're going through first time of freedom in a decade and a half, and you want to treat yourself to a new car, right? Your inner Kermit is saying, treat yourself, right? And so you decide that you're going to go and buy an $80,000 vehicle. So, but guess what? You got to be careful when you buy these things, because that new vehicle that you just purchased to make yourself happy because now you are finally free is marital property because you are not yet divorced. I tell people all the time, separated is not divorced. No matter how long you've been separated, it's not divorced. Unless a judge or magistrate of an equity court in the state of Maryland, if you are, you know, a Maryland resident, whatever, a judge has granted you a divorce, a judge or magistrate or some other kind of judicial official that has the authority to do such, has granted you a divorce, you are not divorced. No matter how long you've been separated, no matter how many girlfriends or boyfriends you've had in between, you are not separate. I mean, I'm sorry, you are not divorced. And therefore, any property that you are acquiring during that separation period is still marital property and still potentially subject to distribution, right? And the reason I say potentially is because in the state of Maryland, there are several factors that the court looks at when they're determining how to equitably, right, because Maryland is an equitable distribution jurisdiction, meaning that it's not about equal, it's about what's fair. And so there's several factors that the court looks at to determine what is in fact fair. So there's a possibility that you may be able to keep your $80,000 vehicle, but just know that now, because you've done this, now you have brought new marital property into the game. Keep track of the money, whether it's your money or your spouse's money, keep track of the money. I've found over and over again, and this usually happens with women, and it's usually women that have been maybe stay-at-home moms or something like that at some point during their relationship, but for some reason they divorce themselves. If they're not the primary breadwinner in the home or they are not the person who's responsible for paying the bills, they kind of divorce themselves from knowing anything about the financial situation in the home. And that's problematic because if you have a consultation and you meet with a lawyer to talk about divorce or a potential divorce and you don't know anything about the financial situation in your marriage, that's problematic. So you want to make sure that you're keeping track and that you know exactly what's going on, because don't know the financial situation of what's going on in your household, right? That means that there's a potential, there's more of a potential for your spouse to hide assets during the divorce because he knows or she knows that you don't know anything about what's going on anyway, right? And, yeah, there's a lot of digging that lawyers can do during divorces, but guess what? That costs you more money. So if there's information that you know that can speed up the process or at least make the process a little bit easier, then that's certainly something that is potentially helpful to you. Gather as much evidence as you can. If you believe that your spouse is having an affair, make sure that you get that information. If you know the name of their potential, if you know the name of their alleged paramour, and you know their date of birth, you happen to know where they live, whatever information that you know that can be helpful to your case, make sure that you bring that with you, because guess what? Your lawyer has to do, the less money you have to pay. And it helps you. It helps just the ease of the process and getting things done. Get your property valued before you part ways. So say, for instance, you have baseball cards or an engagement ring or a house or a business or whatever. If you know that that these things are going to be, if it's considered marital property, if you know that it was acquired during the divorce and it's not otherwise excluded, go ahead and get it valued in advance. Just as much as you can do, because, again, the average divorce is at least $15,000. By the time it's all said and done, you are going to spend and I tell people all the time, you're going to spend at least between $12,000 and $15,000 in the average divorce case in the state of Maryland. So the more you can do on your end, the more information you have, the more that number decreases. Don't hide assets, because remember when I said that the courts, there's several factors that the courts look at when they are determining the equitable split. Guess what? There is a catch-all provision that says for anything else, of all of the factors that the court has to look at, there's one last thing that the catch-all that says, or anything else basically that the court considers relevant. So if your lawyer makes a good argument, and I think any lawyer can make a very good argument, that the fact that you hid assets during a divorce could certainly be a reason to change the distribution of the property split. So don't hide assets. It doesn't help you, because not only are you attempting to deceive your spouse, but you're also attempting to deceive the court, and courts don't really take too keenly to that. So you don't want to do yourself a disservice by trying to, again, that goes back to my first point, you're so caught up in your emotions that you do things that end up hurting you. So don't do that, right? Be honest with your lawyer. Don't hide assets. Just be forthright. These things happen every day, okay? Also know that to receive alimony, I've never received it, but I would imagine that it's great to receive alimony. But understand that when it comes to alimony, the spouse that is receiving alimony has to report that income as tax. It's taxable income to you, while it's a tax write-off to the spouse that's having to pay alimony. So, yes, it may be great to receive alimony, but just know that there are tax consequences to doing so. So also know that with every single exchange of property and income and things like that, there is some potential tax consequence. I always tell people, when it comes to taxes, I know just enough to get me in trouble, so I refer people to tax attorneys, people who do that, who maybe enjoy that kind of stuff, but I don't enjoy that kind of stuff. So I tend not to delve into the tax subject. But I do know that that is a tax consequence for you, right? Also know that there may be other hidden tax implications that you need to look out for. So just make sure that you talk to your attorney, specifically talk to a tax attorney or even an accountant about any of those potential things. always know what your biggest asset could potentially be, because a lot of times people think that their biggest asset is their home, and most of the time it's not. It's usually the retirement account. More times than not, it is the retirement account, because what I've found more these days is that most homes don't have any value at all, right? Most homes are underwater. And because of that, people are not able to use their homes as a saving vehicle like they may have done before. And so because of that, you really have to look, when you're going through a divorce, you really have to look at the other assets in the home. Assets in the divorce, specifically things like the retirement account. That's probably the best thing to look at when you are getting a divorce. Understand also debt obligations. And just because, it's like, for instance, if you have marital debt together, obviously it's your debt together. So you want to make sure that you understand each and every debt obligation, because you don't want to inadvertently assume your spouse's debt if you don't have to. You know, I see all the time, and I draft agreements where parties agree to a potential arrangement regarding paying bills and things like that, or paying debts, and people agree to certain arrangements, but you don't want to agree to something haphazardly and end up hurting yourself in the long run. So just make sure that you understand what the debt obligations are in a divorce. And usually, if it's not a debt that has your name, you have no obligation to pay the debt, usually, right? And so also know that when it comes to paying, if the court orders you to pay attorney's fees, be sure to pay them, because, and I know this firsthand, having been awarded attorney's fees in divorce cases or custody cases or whatever the case may be, and the person not paying them, then guess what happens? Then we ask for the statutory maximum of interest to be applied. Then there's a possibility for contempt of court, right? Because if it was a part of a court order and you didn't do it, it's contempt. And contempt can sometimes mean jail. So you don't want to end up risking possibly going to jail because you did not pay $1,000 or $1,500 or whatever the case may be. So make sure that you are wise in the decisions that you make regarding what it is that you're going to pay. And always have a paper trail. And that's one of the main things that I like to tell people. Have a paper trail, because arguing a divorce case, there's nothing better than actually having evidence. Having emails, text messages, whatever, right? Whatever it is that you're trying to prove, that you actually have the proof to back it up. Because if you are the plaintiff, or depending on any defenses or whatever you may assert as the defendant, you have to prove certain things in order to either win your case or win your motion or whatever the case may be. So just be mindful of that. If you are planning a divorce, have a paper trail. If you have any questions, give my office a call, 301-744-7996. Until next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Join us next week for the next episode of Just Us Talks with Tisha. But in the meantime, know your rights, because at the end of it all, it's just us.